I have been doing quite a bit of reading and studying in the Gospels. I do this every year at Christmas time and go through these accounts of the Christmas story. The book of Luke, as we mentioned Sunday, Luke was a Gentile, and of course he was a physician, and so he was known for his detail. He was very, very detail oriented, and so because of that, we have all of the Christmas story that is in the book of Luke that's not in any other of the books or the Gospels. Matthew is a Jew writing to the Jewish nation. The Jews had a hard time accepting Jesus as Messiah, and Matthew is writing to them to help them to see this man Jesus. He is the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies. There are more than 300 Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. All of it was prophesied hundreds of years before in those, what the Jews looked to as their law, their Jewish scriptures. And so Matthew is writing to them to point them to Jesus in the very scriptures that they believed in, the very law of God that they believed in. And that's what you'll see here in Matthew. You see the various prophecies that he calls to their attention. But we're going to read here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the first prophecy that Matthew mentions. You know, you may think, well, why is it important that we look at the Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ? Well, it's important for a lot of reasons, but for one, it's important because it's a reminder to us that God keeps his word. God is faithful to his word. And, you know, if a person gives you their word and they keep it, if they give you 10 promises and they keep 9 of them and break the one, then their credibility is brought under question, isn't it? If someone fails to keep their word one time, then their credibility is questioned. But the Old Testament prophecies, every one of them was fulfilled. It's a reminder to us that God is a God that can be trusted, that God is faithful to keep his promises. Let me give you a few verses. Psalm 145 and verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God keeps his word. Isaiah 46 and 11, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That's the promise of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God keeps his promises. And one of the reasons why we need to look to all of these Old Testament, if there's 300 of them, that's going to be quite a study to find all the Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ. But Matthew, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he mentions 5 of the Old Testament prophecies writing to a Jewish nation to try to convince them Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. Amen. In verifying that Jesus truly is the Messiah to a Jewish nation that didn't want to accept it, didn't want to believe it. But he was, and his first one was that he was born of a virgin. That's verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. A direct reference to the Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He's quoting from Isaiah 7 and 14 to convince them. And the Jewish nation, they were very well versed in the Jewish law. And so for him to refer to Isaiah 7 and 14, that was going to be a truth that was going to ring very true in their hearts. Amen. Born of a virgin. This was really significant because a Jewish marriage was not like marriages today. Jewish marriages were arranged. The fathers got together and arranged the marriages. It started with a betrothal, or as it said here in Matthew chapter 1, she was espoused. It's almost like engagement, except it is a binding vow. They take their vows at the betrothal, but they don't live together. Actually, there would be about a year between their betrothal and their actual marriage celebration and feast. About a year that would. And during that year, the husband-to-be would go and would build on to his dad's house, because the custom was to go back and live with your family, your dad and your family, and just build on an extra room. And so that was pretty much the Jewish custom. And so he would go and build a place for them, for his new bride. And then after a year, Rebecca's looking at Seth. She's wanting him to build a room on the back of the house. All right, Seth. Yeah, sounds good to me. And then after a year, after the groom has built a place for his bride, then there would be a 7-day wedding feast after a year, and then he would take his bride home. During that period, that espousal period, if something happened, there was a breaking of the vows, then there could be a bill of divorcement. There could be a breaking up of that betrothal during that year period. And that's what Joseph was faced with here when he realized that Mary was expecting a baby. And it took an angel appearing to him to let him know this baby is of the Holy Ghost. And so don't be afraid to take her to be your wife. She hasn't been unfaithful. She's been true. But don't be afraid to take her to be your wife. That's the first prophecy. Born of a virgin. That is the miracle of the birth of Jesus. The second one is found here also in Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 2. And let's read here, skipping down here. Verse 5, Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Each time he reminds them, this is the prophet that spoke this. And he's talking about a prophecy from the prophet Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. When Micah said, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting, and he was to be born. That's the second prophecy that Matthew brings up to this Jewish crowd, telling them that Micah the prophet prophesied that he was going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is significant because Bethlehem was known as the house of bread. It was a large agricultural area. It was a small little village, but a lot of grain was grown there in Bethlehem. It became known as the house of bread, Bethlehem. And we know that Jesus himself referred to himself as the bread of life. Born in the house of bread. John chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Verse 51, this is all in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh which I give for the life of the world. Jesus came and was born in the city of Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he was the bread of life. And Micah the prophet, 600 years before, saw it happening in the city of Bethlehem, that little tiny village. That's where the Messiah was going to be born. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another prophecy, also here in chapter 2. Skip on down to verse 13. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 15, and they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. That prophecy is found in Hosea, and it's different ones of the prophets that prophesied concerning the birth of Jesus and all the details that he was going to spend his early years hiding away in Egypt. That's Hosea 11, chapter 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And so they didn't return from Egypt until after the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph once again and saying, it's safe now to go back. You can go back. But the prophet, all those hundreds of years before, prophesied that Jesus was going to spend his early years, couple of years, hiding away in Egypt. Also prophesied by the prophet Hosea. And then the threats that Herod, they ran because of the threat of Herod against all of the newborn young baby boys under two. Every one of them was going to be murdered and slaughtered. And you could just look on down a couple of more verses where it says, Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem
and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. This horrible, horrible tragedy of all of these little baby boys being brutally murdered by Herod and his threat. And only the angel of the Lord preserved the Lord from this threat of Herod. And it was prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Amen. Matthew is getting the message through to a generation of Jews that did not want to accept Jesus as the Messiah. But he's going one prophecy after another. And there's actually five in chapter 1 and chapter 2 speaking about the coming Messiah, Jesus. The last one is in the last couple of verses of chapter 2. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth because when they returned from Egypt, that's where they went. They went to Nazareth, and Jesus lived there from the time he was 2 years old until he started his earthly ministry at 30 years old. All of his formative years, was right there in the city of Nazareth. Nazareth was known as a city of poverty, and nothing good or significant about the city. But Jesus changed all that. He changed all that about the city of Nazareth. Remember when Philip was trying to convince Nathanael to come and to see the Lord and talk to him, and Nathanael said, is there any good thing that could come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. Here's the good thing, Jesus. Here's the good thing that's come out of Nazareth. Again, fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament, reminding us that God is sovereignly in control of everything and that he is faithful to keep his word. Amen. Amen. Now, all these promises should remind us that all the promises in God's word, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of promises in the word of the Lord, you can put your confidence in the word of the Lord. You can depend upon the promises of God. He keeps his word. He will fulfill what he has promised that he would do. And all of these Christmas prophecies are a reminder to us that God is faithful to keep his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you just need to get a hold of the promise of God. Amen. Read the word and get a hold of a promise and hold on to it. Amen. Hold on to it. You may be praying about some need, some situation. Get a hold of the promise of God and hold on to the promises of God. God is faithful. He is faithful to keep his promises. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. God will keep his word. You can depend upon the promises of God. Not one promise has he ever failed. Not one. Praise God. There's a consistency. There's a credibility to the promises of God's word. So
be reminded tonight that God keeps his word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you tonight for all these wonderful promises in your word, reminding us, Lord, that truly you did come into this world to bring salvation to all of men, all of mankind. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful promise that we have. And Lord, all the different details, every aspect of the coming of the Messiah, you fulfilled your word. You kept your promise. And I know, Lord, that you also have promised that someday soon you're going to come again. So, Lord, we look to you and we look with confidence because we know that your word is true and it will not fail. Thank you, Lord, for your promises here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Lord bless you all.